Mad.
Money.
Machine. Episode 41. Mad.
Money.
Machine. Wednesday, September 27th, 2006. Hello, everybody. This is Paul Douglas Boyer. Welcome to the Mad Money Machine, one of Kiplinger's personal finance magazine's must-read bloggers. I'm proud to say that the Mad Money Machine is sponsored by Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com. And I'm going to get a chance to go out to California and meet with Mark Hebner this Thursday at IFA.com, and I am so looking forward to that. This is a special pre-podcast expo edition of the Mad Money Machine, unplugged, because I'm just going to zip right through the topics that I've got. We're going to follow up on the previous show, tomorrow's newspaper, today, and see what your feedback had to say. Today is the day that I flipped the coin in the Petersburg payout, and I've got some other random stuff to fix, along with a goof that I made two shows ago. I'll tell you how I goofed up and what I've done to fix it. All that and more on the Mad Money Machine, show 41, unplugged. On the previous show, I asked you to send in your comments to the Mad Money Machine website or voicemail line and answer the question, what would you do if you got, for every day for a year, tomorrow's newspaper today? I've got some comments. I've got some good comments in there. Let's go through some of them. Sound Effects says, don't hate me for saying this, Paul, but I think that under these circumstances, I would most likely become an active investor for that 1 year, because we all know it's those highly risky and volatile stocks that tend to have a higher day-to-day increase in price. Well, of course we would. If we knew what was happening, we would invest in the most risky investments because we know the outcome. And the same goes for the day-to-day increase, Sound Effects continues. But you would know when to sell, yeah. And if you knew where a stock was going, wouldn't you rather find the ones that change the most and then short it when you knew it would fall? Yes. Just hope that short-term capital gains tax doesn't eat up the majority of your returns. Oh, yeah. Or you could just gain Bohemian citizenship, I guess Bahamanian citizenship, and forget about the tax altogether. That's an interesting play. It might take you a while to do that, and you'd be wasting some days in your 1 year. One of the things I was thinking about is, if you actually got this gift of a tomorrow's newspaper today, would you know, what is that noise, that airplane? Would you know that you were just going to get it for 1 year, or would it just magically one day appear? It would be much more interesting if just one day you picked up the newspaper and you looked at it and you said, well, this is tomorrow's newspaper. And there wasn't any explanation. There wasn't any gift notice about that. And you said, holy cow, this is tomorrow's stock prices. And you may not believe it even when you first looked at it. But the next day, when tomorrow actually came, or as the day progresses and you see that these news events that were described in the newspaper are actually happening, then you come to realize, oh my goodness, I did get tomorrow's newspaper today. How in the world? And of course, you enter the twilight zone. But then you don't know how long it's going to last. And until tomorrow comes, and you know that tomorrow you get the next day's newspaper. And you say, wow, this is fantastic. And after a while, I suppose, you get to believing that it's just going to continue for the rest of your life. And I'm sure pretty soon you get up 5 o'clock in the morning, you're out on the driveway waiting for the newspaper delivery person to show up with that newspaper, because you haven't figured out a way to get the newspaper any other way, out of a box or someplace else. And would you want to tell anybody else that you were getting tomorrow's newspaper today, or would you keep that very quiet? Also, I imagine that you wouldn't want to go on vacation for a while so that anyone else picks up your newspaper off your driveway. And I imagine if you did go on vacation, you wouldn't want to halt delivery of the newspaper because you might be afraid that they'd be on to you and wouldn't continue delivering tomorrow's newspaper today. But Sound Effects continues. After that year, invest the millions in some ETFs and index funds and live off the interest. Matiya One says, if I would receive tomorrow's newspaper today, I would short the decliners and buy the winners, then write a book. MojoJojo103, hey Paul, if I got tomorrow's newspaper today, I would look at the sports section and see who won and place a bet on one game each day. I would look at the stock section and pick one stock that went up and buy it so I could sell it tomorrow and bank the profit. Once I had made a few $100 billion, I would try to corner the oil market and drive OPEC out of business, and I would manufacture cheap products in the U.S. and sell to China at less than my cost using Walmart as a retail base of operations. You know, now this whole thing deserves some digging down deeper into it. Imagine that you start out with, oh, I don't know, even $1,000 in our little newspaper game. I'm going to have to get a calculator out here. Let's say that you were able to pick a stock that doubled the first day, and you had $1,000 in it, $1,000, and doubled it. The next day is $2,000, of course. So the next day would be $4,000 if you could double it again. Let's just say you could double it every day for several days. So $4,000 by the second day, $8,000 third day, $16,000 fourth day, $32,000 fifth day, $64,000 sixth day, $128,000, $256,000, $512,000, $1,024,000. So you're at by the ninth day. Just a little over 2 weeks of trading, you're at $1,000,000. And now let's keep going. Let's say you're able to take that million and double it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 more days of doubling your money. Now you're at $1,048,000,000. So within 4 weeks, in about a month's time of doubling your money every day, you've reached $1,000,000,000. Now what do you do after a month? This is where it kind of gets interesting, doesn't it? Do you think you can just go to your broker and say, all right, I want to buy $1,000,000,000 worth of Microsoft stock and expect it to double, even if the newspaper shows that Microsoft stock or... That's a bad example. Although Microsoft is a large cap stock, you'd probably find that the smaller cap stocks would be the more volatile. But would you be able to buy $1,000,000,000 worth of the smaller cap stock? So suddenly, you are running your own personal hedge fund, even though it's wildly successful. And you're spending all day long getting in and out of these stocks. Now, I imagine that you'd have to sell your position at the end of each day because you don't know what the next day's newspaper is going to bring now, do you? Bepelin writes, I'm not sure how much that would help, Paul. Tomorrow's newspaper is today's news. But I could probably read all the same articles on that newspaper's webpage today. I guess I'd cancel my subscription, put all that money in my Roth IRA. Besides, haven't most newspapers dropped their stock sections? Amster writes, Hi, Paul. I suppose the fastest way to a fortune would be to get the Mega Millions or Powerball lottery numbers in advance. After doing so, the next step would be to pay off all debts, mortgage and such, secure my future and that of my family, then use the rest to help other people. Given enough money, perhaps I could make that old TV show, The Millionaire, a real one, you know, where the guy gives someone $1,000,000 anonymously. Perfect the random acts of kindness. Of course, I'm glad that you're only having this subscription run for 1 year only. Otherwise, knowing the score in advance could well become like the Twilight Zone episode of A Nice Place to Visit, where getting everything you want isn't quite what you might think it to be. Other than that, an interesting premise. Of course, we all could have used this service on September 10th, 2001, or in Hawaii on 6th December 1941, Ah, but there's the rub. Just knowing the future would let you change it, or is it already changed by your knowing? It was, after all, a rendezvous with yesterday in the time tunnel where they tried to show the captain of the Titanic the papers of 15 April 1912 and following, to no success. Fun idea to play with, and as always, another good show. Thank you, Amster. Sean, 68Z, writes, Hi, Paul. If you got the newspaper a day early, I wouldn't buy stock. I would buy options. Puts and calls are where the real money is. You could gain 100-fold over actually owning any stock in a company. Keep up the good work, Sean. Yes, Sean, you were the only one so far to talk about buying options. Those are the even more widely volatile. If a stock doubles, just imagine what the option on that stock, the call option on that stock, would do. Of course, then there's the liquidity factor, and how much of it can you actually buy? Rav Jim, writes, Paul, who needs to mortgage the house? Taking $100 and finding one stock that went up 25% a day after 100 trading days, I would have... This number looks like $49 trillion, $90 billion dollars. Somehow I think this would be more than enough money to retire, don't you? Then the question would be what to do with the excess, and that would be a question best answered by the Gates Foundation. And he continues in the next post. He says that would be a stock each day increasing by 25%. Of course. ASCII Adam. First, Powerball, a small, less suspicious winning. Then I would leave the country and put the money in an overseas account, spend my days in either the South Pacific or the Caribbean, daily trading my every 80-pip move. After it starts getting old, being the richest person in the world, I would invest in index funds. Then for a couple of issues, I would participate in scavenger hunts, then sell everything found on eBay for a good cause. And the last month would consist of selling stock pick newsletters to the lazy income statement affluent investor. Teal says, first thing I would do is pick the winning lotto numbers. Then I would milk the stock market. After I was filthy rich, I would probably run for president or something. Genji writes, if I had tomorrow's newspaper for a year, why would I even bother investing in stocks? I'd put my money on lottery numbers or on winning horse combinations. They have far greater returns than the best performing stocks. Then I'd take my winnings and bet on more lotteries. The whole point of investing in the stock market is to gain a relatively modest return by offsetting risk with some prior knowledge about a company's fundamentals. With tomorrow's newspaper, who needs prior knowledge about anything other than the winning numbers? Pug writes, first, I would open brokerage accounts at every firm on the street, as front runnage is such a pervasive problem on the street. This is the best way I can think of to use my perfect information for about 1 month. After that, I might well cancel the subscription because my brokerage firm's prop desk would be executing well ahead of my paltry retail orders once they got wise to me. Second, I would hire the best securities law firm I could hire due to the inevitable call I would be receiving from the SEC regarding insider trading. Yeah, indeed. Radar 96 says, I would short stocks that lost money and buy stocks that increase in price. Do that a few times, and I'd retire. Malin 99, one of the top traders, by the way, in the Investment Guru Challenge, says, I would check the obituary, make sure I'm not in there. Then I would check the most active list for double-digit gainers and decliners, and then place limit orders near the high or low for the day, and then go play fishing or play golf. Well, everybody's focused on the money, and that's fine. That's the way I focused it on the last show. But what would you do with Sunday's paper? There's no stock pages listed in the Sunday paper, at least most Sunday papers I'm familiar with. So you wake up Saturday morning, and plopping out on your driveway is the Sunday paper. What would you do with that paper? I am not going to give away the book this week because it's a shortened week. And I want you to think about some of those questions a little bit harder. And if you've already commented and want to comment again, feel free to do that. If you haven't commented yet, go ahead and go out to madmenandmachine.com and place a comment in the show notes for show... why don't you put them in show 40, just to keep them all together. If you can remember to do that. Tomorrow's newspaper today. If you haven't registered, just register. Do that. I won't spam you to death. Maybe 5 a year. And then on the next show, I'll pick one at random to win a copy of the book, Index Funds, a 12-step program for active investors. I really want to encourage you to get a copy of this book and read it. It'll make you a much wiser investor. Let me just say, if you don't understand the principles in this book, then you should be letting someone else that you trust handle your money. All right, a few shows ago, I talked about the Petersburg payout, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, go ahead and go back and listen to the previous shows. But today is the day I get to flip the coin the second time to determine what the payout will be to Paul. And so I've got a quarter. I'm going to put it on my right thumb and flip it up in the air, catch it in my right hand, and turn it over and flip it on the back of my left hand and see what when heads will come up. Hopefully not the first time again, but it's 50-50. Here we go. Flip it high in the air, catch it, turn it over, and it is tails. All right, so here we go. I'm going to place it on my right hand again, up in the air a second time, down, tails again. All right, so that is two flips so far. Here we go again, up, and it's tails a third time. Very good. One more flip, up in the air. Tails a fourth time. This is incredible. Fantastic. Let's see, here we go. Up in the air. Heads. Okay, so on the fifth time, we got heads. That's $2, $4, $8, $16, and a $32 payout. Well, congratulations to those of you that got in cheaply on the Petersburg payout. At inklingmarkets.com, I'll be posting that result out there. $32 is the Petersburg payout. Here's my goof. Two shows ago, I talked about the performance of our guru, Jean-Marie Evaliard. And I have mentioned many, many times that I'm not an accountant. I'm not a financial expert, I'm not a tax advisor, I'm not even a good Excel spreadsheet operator. And I calculated his performance to be something like 22% on the five stocks that he said to buy in February 3rd, 2003, to be exact, on the Wall Street Week with Fortune magazine show. Karen Gibbs was interviewing him. And he had five stocks on there, and I calculated up that the annual return on those was something like 22%. Well, being an idiot, what I did is I took the starting price and the ending price and calculated from there. What I should have done is gone into Yahoo Finance and got the dividend and stock split adjusted prices for those stocks. If you go into finance.yahoo.com and look at the historical prices for any stock, you can go back to any date, and the rightmost column there gives you the adjusted price for that stock, and that's the one to use. And when you do that, his annualized return on those five stocks would have been over 27% per year. And I compared that with the IFA Portfolio 100, which over a corresponding time frame was about 26%. So I apologize to you, Jean-Marie Evaliard, that I miscalculated your performance. And congratulations for being 1% better than the index fund portfolio. And I hope that everyone can learn a little bit about calculating performance by using the adjusted stock prices in that way. Also, another goof. When I told you that I Googled Nal Nordine, well, the reason nothing showed up is because I spelled his name wrong. I spelled it N-O-R-D-E-E-N. Well, it's N-O-R-D-I-N-E. And if you Google Nal Nordine, you'll find a lot more entries. And it just shows you the flaws that can occur sometimes when you rely on Google to answer all your questions. You've got to know how to spell, don't you? I skimmed over it in the last show about rebalancing I talked about how the ETF portfolio, the worst performing ETF in there, is the Vanguard Pacific Mutual Fund, and how it's only up 1.8% or something. And I just talked about how that would be the one that you should rebalance into. And I wondered if you caught that and the importance of that. If you actually were investing in something like that ETF portfolio, and it was coming around time again to invest more money in your assets like that, that in fact is the one that you would put the money into, the Pacific ETF. Ideally, what you'd want to do is spread your money around across all of the ETFs so that they get back into the balance that you originally wanted to start out with. And the balance that I started out with in that portfolio was 10% of the money in each one of those, except for one, the Vanguard Total Stock Market, which I had 20% into. Hey, I never got an answer about why Battlestar Galactica is broken. David wrote in and said he didn't like me talking about it, but you never did answer me. Why do you think Battlestar Galactica, the new one, is broken? I saw an article out on CNN that talked about the upcoming season, and I guess there's a little bit of a hype being generated now for the new season about to start in October. There is a DVD out called The Story So Far, and if you haven't watched any Battlestar Galactica, I think watching that one DVD is supposed to get you caught up and ready for the new season. Well, I downloaded Internet Explorer 7, Beta 2, I guess it is, and I like it. It's got a feed reader built right into it. Now, here's the thing. In the older web browsers, Firefox and IE6, if you go into somebody's webpage, a blogger's webpage, and you see that XML link in there or the RSS feed icon and you click on it, then what you get in your browser is a whole big bunch of XML gibberish. Well, with the new IE7, you click on a link like that and it actually brings up that feed readable in the browser window. And you can subscribe. It'll have a link at the top there that allows you to subscribe to that link. So in addition to your favorites listing, you can have all of your feeds listed in the browser. And I like it. Every day I bring that up and it shows you which blogs have unread articles. And it sure makes scanning the highlights a lot easier. I'm leaving on a big jet plane Thursday morning from Dulles Airport, going to LAX, renting a car, driving over to Ontario, California for the podcast and Portable Media Expo. Very excited about it. I've been planning and planning and planning. I've never been before, so I don't really know what to expect. Looking forward to meeting a lot of people out there, though. I do have time for one tool in the crib this time. And this is something that has just, it's bothered me my entire life. And I found a solution to it a few weeks ago. And I think it's just incredible. I have never been able to fold a shirt. Usually what I do, you know, especially the way you see them in the clothing stores where the full front of the shirt is shown and the sleeves are tucked under the back. I have tried and tried and I cannot fold a shirt. So usually what I resort to is I plop it face down on the bed or something and then I just fold it in half and then fold it in half again. I'll end up with a big fold or crease right in the middle of the shirt. Well, I saw something out on YouTube, how to fold a shirt, and it has changed my life. And so I'm going to place that video in the tools section of the madmoneymachine.com. And if you're a guy, which I imagine 95% of you listening are, then you can impress your spouse, your girlfriend, or your mom by folding your own shirt. It only takes 4 steps. You pinch it in 2 places. You take 1 pinch and fold it over to the bottom. Then you pull up, lay it down, and fold over, and it's done. It's the most amazing thing I have ever seen. You know, I remember on TV, one of these TV infomercials, they used to have the shirt folding gizmo that you could buy for $19.95 or whatever, and you place this cardboard thing or whatever on the back of your shirt and fold it across and all that. Well, this completely eliminates the need for doing that. And why in the world no one ever taught this to kids 50 years ago is completely beyond me. But I want to make sure that you know how to do it. Pass it along, because it's a real time saver and a shirt saver. I've got a closet full of folded shirts. Well, that's our tool in the crib this time. How to fold a shirt. And like all the other tools I've given you, this one's free. One thing I forgot to mention about the IE7 browser is just after I installed it, I noticed that a couple of things don't work for me anymore. For example, my MS Money software doesn't allow me to go out and browse the charts for stocks anymore. It actually crashes when I do that. And I noticed that a couple of other software applications didn't work as well. For example, ESPN Poker Game. Crashed a couple of times, but I have been able to get that back and working again. Yeah, I've been playing Hold'em online to try to figure out how to play the game in order to get ready for the tournament that Rob Walsh and Gary Leland are putting on at Podcast Expo. Got to get some practice in. I know they have been playing, or at least I know Rob has been playing an awful lot, and so I don't want him just to take my money the very first hand. Well, I wanted to make sure that step 8 in the 12-step program for active investors was a good one, and I didn't have time to get a good one put together for this week, and I may not have time to get one put together for next week either, being at the expo all weekend. But I think it's an important one, and so I recommend that you go out to the ifa.com website and read step 8 for yourself. It's called Risk Ease. It's the language of risk, and it's a very important piece of investing to understand, and I want to make sure I do a good job at that, of helping explain. I love taking your calls on the voicemail line. If you're using a plain old telephone system, POTS, it's 206-734-4763. And if you're using Skype, just type in Mad Money Machine. I got a call from Matt.
Hey, this is Matt from Pasadena, Maryland. I had a question for you. I got an email the other day from somebody in my company, and I work for Verizon Wireless. And for whatever reason, they were trying to advertise an IPO that was coming out. It actually released last week. And basically, it was for Las Vegas Reservations, ticker symbol LVCC. And they were saying that the target price over the next 5 days would be $5 to $6, and the IPO was $1. Now, I checked it out, and I was following the stock for a little bit, and it went as high as about $1.60. And right now, with I think the last close price for Friday was $1.10. I have no idea why somebody would want to do this, advertise the stock. So just wondering why you think that somebody would do that. Maybe it's for their own Kramer crackle for whatever reason. I don't know. Just let me know. Thanks.
Hey, Matt, Pasadena, Maryland. That's my old stomping grounds. I live just off Benfield Boulevard off of Interstate 97, and we'd go down into Annapolis or go up into Baltimore, or easy to get to Washington, even a great place to live. Congratulations. Well, regarding your question, you need to go back and listen to show 37. I talk about stock picking spam and the fact that it works. People can make some percent on their money by getting other people to buy these low pink sheet stocks, these under $1 or near under $2 stocks. So I imagine someone had a position in the company, wanted you to buy it up so that they could sell it to you for a higher price. And you know, if a dollar stock goes up to $2, they make a pretty good percentage on that, don't they? Thanks for calling. And if anybody wants to call and talk about tomorrow's newspaper today, I'd appreciate taking your call there, too. Well, thank you so much for joining me on this unplugged edition of the Mad Money Machine. This has been Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes unplugging every once in a while to make a Mad Money Machine. I'll see you next time. And don't forget to visit our sponsor, Index Funds Advisors. Take their risk capacity survey and see how much risk you have the ability to withstand in your investments. Let them help you reach your financial independence. You've been listening to Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine. Some music played on this program was made possible by the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. Mad Money Machine is not affiliated with Jim Cramer, CNBC, Real Money, TheStreet.com, or anyone else, really. I may have long or short positions on some or all of the investments discussed on this show. Although the information discussed on this program is believed to be reliable, neither I nor the sponsors of this program make any representations or warranties whatsoever as to its accuracy or completeness. Nor do we assess, verify, or guarantee the suitability or profitability of any particular investment, and you should not rely solely upon this program for purposes of transacting securities or other investments. Opinions expressed by me and any of my guests are current opinions only and subject to change without notice. Thanks for listening. Join me again next time for more of Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine.